Reading now in Revelation chapter 10, a chapter you're very familiar with. In verse 1, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." And by the teaching that we have had, we know what that means. The sea means the eastern part of the world, the eastern people, the populated areas. The earth means the western hemisphere that we're living in, and some of the other western nations, the less populous places of the world. But John sees this angel coming down, which is Christ, and he sees it as though the whole thing takes place right there together. Because the end time people are to receive from the Lord the benefit of his first coming on the day of Pentecost to the eastern people, and also receive the benefit of his second coming, second leg of his coming in the west here, as though it all take place together, tying that in with Joel and different scriptures. One scripture in the Bible declares that we receive the former and latter rain in 1 month. So the whole impact of the coming of the Lord and what is bought in redemption is to be made known in this hour. So that's what John is seeing here. It's being signified to John. He was talking about something else to take place in the future. Now, the book of Revelation has its application, amen, most of it after the church ages is over. Fact is, relatively little was known about this mysterious book until after the church age is over and God sent the seventh church age messenger to the earth. Now, men have gleaned truth from it all the way through. And there's been things that's brought out, things that was correct. But it remained a veiled book mostly until the last day. Amen. When God sent the Word of God back to earth again. Amen. Now, John here, being a type of the bride, seeing what takes place at the end time. Now, let me refer to this just slightly here. In the book of Acts, we find that there was two main leaders there that usually the emphasis was put upon, and that was Peter and Paul. And very little emphasis put upon John. Fact is, John went on a missionary trip with Paul, and when he got to a certain place there, John, he just couldn't go along with Paul, and John left them. Not that John was disagreeing with Paul's doctrine, but the way that he did. Amen. But God reserved John till right after all the other apostles have more or less faded off the scene, as the Word of God said he would do. Amen. Jesus told John that you will live, said now you go where you want to and so on and so forth, do what you want to. But there will come a day when they'll have to carry you, that you can't walk. In other words, you're going just to be down with old age. You're going to live a ripe old age. John, if you'll notice his writing, it's something very unusually about the writing of John. John's writing, he is called by those that have studied the Word of God, the love apostle. Because he always talks about the love of God. He that is born of God, amen, loveth God and so forth, and God is love. And just over and over read John 1, 2, and 3, and you'll find that. He is the only one that projected the love of God to that extent. There isn't any of the other writers that did it like that. Amen. But John had his nature for a special reason. This is the hour, a time, when the capping off of all the ages is to take place. This is the hour of time when the love of God is to be spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is the hour of time that God is going to bring to completion that He begun in the book of Acts. That He begun with the early church. He's going to bring it to completion. Now John, seeing the angel here, amen, he put one foot on land, one on sea, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And we know what he said. Revelation 18 tells us that. All right. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Amen. Seven thunders uttered their voices. Their voices. Which signifies the seven angels of the seven church ages. And so forth. But Christ comes by revelation to the church at the end of the age. Now I want you to notice here, referring back to Pentecost, referring to Acts 2, referring to the early age, when the church stepped out on the day of Pentecost, they spoke by divine inspiration, the Word of God. Christ was in the church. The church were moved and led by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But as it went into its first age there, Ephesus, John the age-old apostle writing there, seeing the condition of a fallen church in 96 A.D., he wrote to them and said, "You've lost your first love. Repent. Do your first works over or I'll come and move the candlestick." That there signifying that the church had already fell away from that it had on the day of Pentecost. Somebody may think the church had it all the way through. God has dwelt in His church in a measure all the way through. That is true. But God has not dealt with His church as He did in the book of Acts since the days the book of Acts was enacted. How many can say amen? Amen. All right, now this took place there and John saw the church fall away, but then God picked John up to the throne of God. And he saw the throne, he saw the elders, he saw the beast, and he wrote about them. Amen. But John, being a type of the bride of Christ, sees the end of the age. Alright, watch. Seven thunders of their voices, meaning that the impact of what the seven spirits has done as they've come to the earth in the seven ages, all of it is piled up together here as Christ gives the revelation of the full Word of God. Amen. He brings it down in the little book. Amen. Now, the book was in heaven. In the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, we find it there. It was taken from the church when the church sinned against God, when the church mixed the Word, mixed their carnal revelation with the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. God reached down and took the little book, which is the full power of God from the church. And the church has not received it at any time up to this point. But here John sees the angel come down and he roars like a lion and he says, Revelation 18, that Babylon is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. And then immediately upon that, we receive the impact of the seven spirits of God. Amen. Let me say that again. To get that, we receive the impact. Now, when I'm speaking of the angels, I'm not necessarily speaking of the seven earthly messengers. The seven earthly messengers, they did that God ordained them to do in their day. Amen. They swung the church back to God in their day. They stirred the conscience of the people in that day. They made them know that there was a God in their day. But here, seven spiritual angels reveals their voices to the church. And it's there. Means more than one. Voices with a yes. Amen. Not seven men here in a little short time,
But the impact of the seven spirits of God in the earth at once, which is the spiritual coming of the Lord. Amen. All right, this takes place in verse 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal those things which the thunders uttered, and write them not. Amen. Now, write them not. I want to put some emphasis on that right there. Write them not. Write not the things that the thunders uttered, because in 96 A.D. the church didn't need it. In 1900 the church didn't need it. Amen. And the church hadn't needed it all the way through, because it was not for the wheat and the tares. It was not for a denominational church. It was not for a church that was committing spiritual fornication with Jezebel. It was not for that type of church, but it was for a church that was made pure by the Word of the Lord. Amen. For a church made pure by the Word, and the church can never be pure by the Word long as there's wheat and tares growing together. In Acts chapter 5, we see a beautiful picture of the church. Ananias and Sapphira, they felt the impact of the judgment of God. Amen. As they were struck dead by the power of God. God keeping His church clean. Acts 4, it's recorded that great grace was upon the church. There was something very special taking place among a realm of people that have come out and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We haven't saw the like since the days of the book of Acts. Now, I know about the big revivals we've had. I know about the men of God that have swung the people back to God through the ages. There's been hundreds of them. Amen. And I've read pretty thoroughly on them. But nothing has ever compared with what God did in the book of Acts. There may have been more miracles. But all of that did not produce anything to even resemble God's true church. Amen. So there's still something left for the bride of Christ. Amen. Now watch. In this hour, John seeing what the seven spiritual angels had of the revelation of God would all be made known in a short period of time. Amen. When Brother Branham revealed the revelation of the seventh seal, he said it flashed before him and he knew it was the seven thunders, but he said it would be made known along about the time that the Lord Jesus appears on earth for the bride. Amen. Now there's something to take place in the earth before the bride of Christ leaves the earth. Amen. Praise God, and it's taking place right now. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual marriage taking place. Amen. Glory be to God. There's a spiritual marriage taking place. God is moving by revelation, courting His church. Amen. Courting the bride. Courting those that's going to be caught up with Him. Amen. In the Spirit, you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ before you're ever picked up off of this earth. Amen. Because when you're picked up off this earth, the first thing that takes place, you stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done, what, and so forth, how faithful you've been to the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. It is true. It is true that in the natural sense, in the physical sense, amen, we're united with Christ around the marriage supper. That is true. But before this physical take place, there's got to be a spiritual wedding take place in the world here as a group of people believe God's Word for the hour. Amen. As the angel of God, which is Jesus Christ here, spoken of, comes to earth in the full power of the revelation of what He is. Amen. He brings something very special for the bride. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Notice here, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hands to heaven, and he swore by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things therein are, and the sea and the things therein and the things that which are there in that time should be no longer. Amen. Now watch. Time should be no longer. He swore that time would be no more. He swore that time has run out, that time would be no longer. Amen. We find, thanks be to God, in 72, as God began to shine more light on the revelation of His Word, He made clearly known what that meant. Amen. He made it so clearly known it's without question to any of those that will dare to look at the Word of God in its reality, in its original form, in the light of what has been revealed in this hour. Amen. Sitting back in the office in that evening, the Holy Spirit came in, and it was just as real as someone speaking. Although I didn't hear audible words, I was meditating on the Lord, and God came into the office there and told me, read Revelation 2, the Thyatiran church age, about Jezebel. I gave her a space to repent in, and she repented not. Said she, I even suffered her to teach my servant, but I gave her a space to repent in. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know if Brother Loggins remembered or not, but he said the same week he was wondering what that meant. Time no more. It was such a mystery that it could not be figured out. And it still can't. Amen. It's just accept the revelation of God's Word. It means time has definitely come to a focal point, an ending point for the denominational world. Amen. Time is no more when this angel comes down, because he comes back in the original form that he was in the early church on the day of Pentecost. Amen. He brings back the title deed for all that God bought and paid for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here he raises his hand to heaven, and he swears that time is no more. Time shall be no more. Amen. That time has run out. And brother, sister, listen to me tonight. This is the hour that we're living in. Amen. When it has come to a place where the churches have so deteriorated away from God's Word, they have no more respect for God's Word than anything. Amen. It signifies this cycle of time has definitely come to a place where it is safe to preach, come out of her. Be not partaker of her sin, for all denomination has become nothing but a cage for unclean birds. Amen. A place where foul spirits go and take their habitation in the name of Christianity, in the disguisement of Christ, Antichrist. Amen. It's safe to declare it. It's safe to preach it. Amen. And it's time to preach it. Amen. And warn the people to flee from the wrath which is to come. Now verse 7 it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. Now the seventh messenger, he should have done something that all the other messengers did not do. Now, but in the days, I'll point back to some days that have already passed. Amen. But in the days of, when he was here, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, angel, earthly messenger, as he was inspired by the spiritual angel. Remember when them angels came down, which formed the picture at the opening of the seal, there were seven of those angels. And one of them, what Brother Brown said, as they came and he was picked up in the constellation of angels, he went plumb out of his knowing. But he said one thing about that one, that seventh one. Amen. Said it meant more to him than all the others. That's the one he looked for all his life. That is the one that he drew inspiration from. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church tonight. The church is not drawing inspiration only from the seventh angel. The church is drawing inspiration from the first, from the second, from the third, from the fourth, from the fifth, from the sixth, and from the seventh, which are distinct and broke up in seven distinct periods and so forth, called seven thunders, which is uttering out only to the bride. Amen. The seven thunders was not for the denomination. It is a message that condemns denominationalism. After these things, after what things? After the church age is over. After all these other things is over. Amen. That pertaineth to the church ages, the seven of them. After the harvest time comes. All right. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared unto the servants the prophets. Now this one word, mystery, in it is all the mysteries that is contained in what chapter? Matthew 13. In all, it contains all the mysteries. The mystery of the field with a great the great pearl in it. The mystery of the wheat and the tares. All these mysteries, which there's seven periods of mystery there. But this one word, mystery, here incorporates all them and make one mystery out of it. Signifying the church age is finished, declared up by the seventh angel. Now, here's where we want to begin to get to here. All right, verse 8. And it said, and the voice which I heard from heaven said unto me. Again. Or let me read that again to get it more correctly. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which the angel which standeth up on the sea and up on the earth. Now I want you to look at this. Saint John, or the Apostle John here, being a type of the bride, this was not even for his day at all. How many knows? It was not for his day at all. Because John, he did not know what was contained in the little book. Amen. He did not know in its full application. Only in type form here, God giving us the pictorial scene of what would take place in this hour. Now, notice verse 7 clears up the mysteries of the church ages. Verse 7 clears up the mysteries of all the seven earthly messengers. But then, the angel come down, he brings something else to the church. He brings a little book to the church. Now, we had the big book all along. The Catholic Church had the big book. Denominations had the big book. But this little book was not even available at all.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. This little book was not available at all because the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, we find it in heaven in the hand of Him that sat on the throne. It reverted back and went back to the authority of God. As the early church failed and lost out with God, God reached down and claimed, took back that He had given the early church for as a claim of redemption. Amen. Now when I say that, bear in mind the Spirit of the Lord was here all the time and the church moved, but there's never been a pure church. It's been Christ and Antichrist entwined together. Read the church age book as it was preached by Brother Brown, and he said both those vines were entwined together, and only at harvest time will there be a separation. Only at the time of the end of the world the angels are sent forth to sever the wicked from among the just. Amen. There's got to be a special message for this end time, for only the seed after the seed is separated. Amen. After the wheat is separated from the tares, God gave us the marriage certificate. Hallelujah. The marriage certificate was in heaven. He began to send it down under the message of the prophet, Brother William Branham. Glory to God. Amen. When he began to open up the seventh seal, right then and there, for the first time since Peter preached, for the first time since Paul preached, for the first time since John preached, amen, we begin to get unwritten word that were vindicated of God, word that we could rest our soul upon. Hallelujah. Word that was not even wrote in the big book. It was wrote in the little book. Hallelujah. Now, this is a spiritual scene, and it takes place over a period of time. None of the opening of the seals taken place in a 24-hour period. It were, when the first horse rider went forth, it were maybe a few hundred years that that white horse, Antichrist spirit, rode in that form. Then it changed horses, and a few hundred years rode in that form, changed horses again. The seventh seal has been in the process of being opened at least since 1933, when the angel of the Lord came down and brought unwritten word to the church for the first time. Amen. There was something we could rest our soul upon, just as much as we could rest our soul upon what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. The angel came down and said, as John the Baptist, we're sent with a message to forerun the first coming of the Lord. Even you will take a message to the world that shall forerun my second coming. For the first time since the Bible was wrote. Amen. For the first time we got fresh revelation from heaven. Amen. We heard from God. Amen. With a message that there is to be a forerunner before Christ comes. Before this time, it was hardly anyone. Though people, they've gleaned certain revelation from the Word, but they made a doctrine and went out on a limb. But now the church began to get something that's not in the big book. Amen. It only signifies a period of time that we begin to live in, that the end time people would be living in, when there would be fresh revelation taken from the little book. Hallelujah. Amen. How many sees it now? And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven. Amen. Which was Christ in revelation form. Hallelujah. Not in a literal form. Not in a physical form. But in a revelation form. Bringing revelation back to the church again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think of that great message. Oh, when I heard that, how it thrilled my soul. As John the Baptist. Think about that, folks. You think Peter preached the great message there on the day of Pentecost? He did. Amen. It's brought salvations to millions. Amen. But think, the same God brought another message. Amen. The same God spoke again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bringing word to the church from out of the little book. Should I just go on and say nothing about it? Or what will I do? What will I do? And the strength of the Holy Spirit came into me, the anointing of the Lord. And I said, God's Bible is right. I will preach that. I will stand for that regardless. Amen. Now listen here. After the seventh angel's message has completed itself and wound up and finished the mystery of God, which incorporates the mysteries of God, the Spirit began to speak to the bride again. Amen. Because there's the angel standing with the little book, and it's open. The revelation of it is obtainable now. Before this time, the revelation was not obtainable, because in the spiritual sense, it was still in heaven. But here stand John there, and the angel of God, which was Christ there in spiritual form, the Holy Ghost, by revelation, began to speak to his heart, saying, go, take the book. Say, now in our day and in our time, as this Scripture is unwinding itself and fulfilling itself and making itself known, in our day it's the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Almighty God, saying to the bride, there is still yet more. Yeah. Amen. Everyone that's called to be in the bride. Everyone that's ordained of God unto eternal life. Amen. Everyone that has the baptism of the Holy Spirit can hear that still, small voice speaking. Amen. Saying, there's still something else. There's still something else. There's still something else. Amen. There's unwritten word for the church. Amen. Everyone that's called to be in the bride. Everyone that's ordained of God unto eternal life. Amen. Everyone that has the baptism of the Holy Spirit can hear that still, small voice speaking. Amen. Saying, there's still something else. There's still something else. There's still something else. Amen. There's unwritten word for the church. Amen. The Bible says this book is a light that they use to shine in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star would be made available to us again, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, here stands Christ with the book. Then a voice from heaven began to speak to John's heart, go get that. There's still something else. After the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel. Now you listen to me now as we read this, because God's willing, we'll get into something else here in just a little while. Something that's very needful. And the voice which I heard spake again to me in heaven said, now here's what John said. He's a type, now remember him. The angel, the voice from heaven speaking again. Notice the angel standing here with the book. But they begin to hear. Amen. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit say. Amen. The one in the Bible, Isaiah, prophesied about a generation that would have ears and they couldn't hear. Eyes that couldn't see. A heart that's waxed dry and couldn't understand. But the Spirit continued to speak. Let him that has an ear hear. Amen. He that has an ear is hearing this. Go get what that angel broke down that wasn't revealed to Brother Branham. Go get what that mighty angel brought down that wasn't revealed to Brother Branham. Go get that little book that is open in the hand of the mighty angel. Amen. Go on with God. Go on in the Spirit. Amen. He's calling everyone here, sitting here tonight, that has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The real Holy Ghost. Which there's only one Holy Ghost, and He is the real Holy Ghost. Everyone that has a Holy Ghost has that inward urge to go on with God. It's the mighty angel. It's the voice from heaven saying, go get that book. Go get that book. Go get that book. Go get that book. There's something new has come to the church. John looked down through the telescope of time. And he saw it and he said the people would receive great strength. They would run like mighty men. They would climb over the wall. And he said the churches would look like the Garden of Eden. They would be so beautiful with a robust choir and with their easy living, with the freedom of women, they call it, and all kind of filth and nonsense going on in the church. But Joel said at this time the voice of the Lord would speak. Amen. There'd be a mighty army come forth. Amen. And your strength would be renewed because the joy of the Lord would be renewed to the heart of the sons of man. Hallelujah. There's one thing that'll bring joy to you. That's a revelation from Jesus Christ dropped in your heart tonight. And rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Because that gives us joy and that strength. And the Bible says the Word of God, and especially the word that's wrote in the little book, is health to our flesh. Amen. And marrow to our bone.
Glory to God, and I like to literalize that one. You can't spiritualize everything because every one of you know that a revelation will not only do something for your soul, but it will also do something for your physical being. Amen. It'll make you rejoice in the Lord. It'll make you praise Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It'll strengthen you. Amen. Now notice the angel stand with a book. The Holy Ghost inside the people. Now the Holy Spirit fell on them in 1906 and so forth. Someone was telling me recently that a great evangelist in the late 40s, in the early 50s, would line them up and just say, "Receive the Holy Ghost." To about 50 of them. And everyone began to speak in tongues and so forth. The Holy Ghost fell on them. But the Bible says Christ is to be formed in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Christ is formed in you, it's different from a blessing falling on you. It does something for your life. Hallelujah. Christ is being formed in the church. He is made available. The Holy Spirit speaking. Go take the book out of the hand of the angel. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And John walked up to the angel and he said, "Give me the book. Give me the little book." Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ has got to get the Spirit of the Holy Ghost encouraged to say, "Give me the little book. Give me the revelation for the hour. Give me the message that will slay the giant. Give me the power of God. Give me back what the early church had." Hallelujah. Let's read further here now. Oh, glory to God. My, 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 my. Notice the voice from heaven spake again. Again the voice from heaven spoke. And when the voice from heaven spoke, it has to have something down in here. The deep calling to the deep. The deep calling to the deep. Something to fix your life up. All right, notice the Holy Spirit saying, "Go." There's something else in God's Word. Everyone that stopped with the message. Now let me say this. And please again, let me beg you to listen at this in the spirit that I say it in. Everyone that stops with the seventh angel's message and go no further, they never received the full contents of what's in the little book for a New Testament church, because it's after the voice of the seventh angel, after the mistress has completed itself, the Spirit speaks to John and said, "That angel over there that has the little book, you need it. Go get it." Now listen. Verse 9, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book." Do you want something else? Do you want the real Word of the living God? Somebody said the Bible is the Word. How true? No truer words could be spoken than those. The Bible is the Word of God. God proved it, vindicated it, backed it up. Amen. And not one good promise will ever fail that's contained therein. But remember, the Bible speaks of a little book that has something for a special group of people. And also remember this, this big Bible here contains revelation not only for the Jews, not only for the millennial reign, not only for the 144,000 true witnesses of God, this big Bible contains it, but there's a little book to a special group of people. All right, John says here, he said, "Go over and take the book." There, oh, if we had the time, but we won't take it tonight. There's where people, they hear that voice. They hear that voice. Beloved, remember your vision. Dream about the thing fixing to leave here that we were getting out of. The lady heard the Holy Spirit down in her heart saying, "Go get the little book."
But she had other instructors that had previously instructed her. There was nothing else to come. There was nothing else in the little book. Therefore, as far as we know, she's continued to turn a deaf ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying inside of her heart. Go on with God. John walks over here in verse 9, and I went over unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it. Amen. Take it and eat it. Any initial revelation from God that tells about the promises of God, any revelation that tells about the great victories of God, always tastes good. Amen. It's always received with joy for those that have any intention of going on with God. So John took the little book here. The angel said, not only take it out of his hand, John walked over and he said, eat it. Amen. We could take and title another message on this, eat it. But the book was in the angel's hand. Now it came into John's hand. John, what are you going, bride of Christ, what are you going to do with the revelation of God in the day that we're living in? You have it in your hand. Alright, watch here now. He had it in his hand. Watch now. And I went over unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Now here's where we're going to get into something, and we want you to listen for the next little bit. Take what he's saying to the church. And immediately it was good. It tastes good. Let's see about John explaining it here. Amen. Verse 10. And it said, and I took the little book out of the hand of the angel. That's what some of you have already done to a great degree. Have taken the book out of the hand of the angel. You have received the revelation of the spiritual coming of the Lord. You've received the Daystar message. You've received, amen, the fact that Jesus Christ has come to earth again. Amen. But the book is in the hand of the people. And John took the book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. Now watch. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Amen. But now as John ate the little book, just as soon as it touched down into his stomach, and his body had to begin to digest that, some of it began to get very bitter. Amen. Why? It was a live, living book. Now this Word of God here has been taught by denominationalism, and God left this big Bible in such a way, amen, that you could take a whole lot of it different ways. A man told me the other day that reads the Bible almost every night. He said, Paul said it was better if we didn't get married there in Revelation chapter, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, says better to remain a virgin and not get married and so on and so forth. Paul was speaking of a local condition, and the tarriers caught Paul's word and made a false priesthood that the priest could not marry and so on and so forth. And that's the way denomination has caught the big Bible here, the Word of God, and twisted it and interpreted it according to their liking. To please the people.
But the little book that comes down, only the bride gets it. There's a revelation for the bride. The move is on for the bride. It's something that is bitter to digest because it shows that denominationalism is purely antichrist. Amen. It shows that those that flee from the true apostolic word of God that's being preached now, it shows that it has become a habitation of devil. Amen. When you taste of the Lord and find He's gracious, then it begins to do something for you. Now this year, Bible here has been streamed through and pulled through the interpretation of it. Has the Bible still remains original? But every denominational interpretation. But there's a little book that's still alive. When you eat live food, there's live bacteria in that food. I believe we discussed it the other day, and I mentioned it last night. Even when you drink whole milk, see, it won't keep for very many days. There's live bacteria in there that can hook onto you and become part of you. Because it had not been pasteurized and so forth, and killed the live bacteria and so forth. Man were made originally to eat food basically raw, the vegetation of the earth, and so forth, which has living bacteria, which has life in it itself. When you boil food and so forth to a certain extent, you kill it. It's only a substitute to exist on, but can never give you that life-giving source that Enoch and Methuselah and all those that lived 969 years or so. Amen. That they ate that. That food become part of them. In the last day. Listen to me. In the last day, God's going to bring some live word to the church that will cause Christ to be formed in you. And He said, take the little book, eat it up. Notice the angel said, take the book, eat it. And John said, in my mouth when I first heard about it, oh, it made me shout. It made me rejoice. It made me speak in tongues. It made me have the victory. It made me have the power of God. But when it began to be applied and time went on, and I began to see things in my life that had to be got rid of and so forth, even the Word became bitter. Even the Word became bitter. The Word, the living Christ, is given to you for one thing. That's to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Layman or brother, sister, young or old, whoever it be, Christ will have a purified people. Christ will have a people zealous of good work. Christ will have a people that live right. Christ will have a people that His own life will fit right into. 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11, that the life of Christ might be manifested where? Somebody tell me. In your mortal flesh. In your mortal. That means this flesh right here. And then He tells us how to do it. Eat the book. Eat the living Word. Eat the living soul. Eat what God's made available for the hour. And Christ will change your mortal flesh. There'll be Christian walking around. And Peter said, be ye holy, for He is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, in all manner of conversation. Christians are going to now have to be Christian. Many people eat food that it just seems to never be able to digest it. Amen. They have ulcers and everything else. They can't assimilate it. I believe that's the word. Digest it. Let it become part of them. Let it become part of them. It's bitter in the stomach when you know your life's got the pattern after that of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, that He left us a trail to follow. Not in those words, but it says that we should follow in His footsteps who neither sinned nor was God found in His mouth. I don't care how much we know.
how much we don't know, how much we shout, how much we do this, that, the other. The life of Christ has got to be manifested in our mortal flesh. Or Jesus Christ will never be formed in you. Jesus that day hanging on the cross, as they mocked Him and said, "Come down off the cross if you be the Son of God." They tried to give Him vinegar to drink. They mocked Him in every way. His dying prayer was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Love with a pure heart. How do you purify your heart? Church, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. There's no one going to make until they have purified their heart in obeying the truth. The truth is laying aside all malice, all evil speaking, all hatred, and the works of the flesh, which you can name about 18 of them easily. In Galatians and 1 Corinthians, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and the list just goes on. Christ is none of that. Paul said, if you do these things, you shall not. Can anybody think? Inherit the kingdom of God. Do you want to be Christian? Do you want to be rescued out of the mess you're in? There's a message that'll do it. Being born again. You said, "Brother Howard, what does that mean?" I felt the Holy Spirit. I rejoiced. I shouted when somebody preached. I spoke in tongues. The Bible says, let's read it. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed. What is a corruptible seed? You can rejoice, you can shout, you can speak in tongues, but anything outside the Word of God, anything mixed with the Word of God is corruptible seed. It takes the pure, unadulterated Word of God to produce a birth. The Bible says, receive with meekness that engrafted word engrafted. It's got to become a part of you that's able to save your soul. Amen. Church, we got to move with God. But the of uncorruptible word of God, which liveth. Now the word is living cells that hook onto you and become part of you. Which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of the grass that withers, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word by the gospel that is present tense preached unto you. Now referring again to Revelation chapter 10 and closing out. It says here, after John eaten, it was bitter. He had to digest it, typifying the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said unto me, the voice, the revelation speaking again, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Thou, who is it? There's one more ride. There's one more thing God's going to do. He has never, since the early church, has the type church that's recorded in the Bible. There's one more thing. The church is to be a witness one more time to a denominational world that's bound by tradition, that's locked down, that their souls are in prison. God's Word commands us to loose the prison for them that's bound. Jesus speaking a prophecy that Isaiah uttered said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to loose the bonds of them that bound and to open the prison." That's the message that God is going to do in this last day as we digest the book. Do you see? The little book. Give me the little book. Can you say it tonight?
Will you be a separated people unto you and your God and the Word only? If it means standing just you and you alone. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? Do you want to take the little book and eat it? Do you see what the angel brought down? Hallelujah. You'll have to stand alone. It's bitter in your stomach. But He said once you digest it in that Word, you and Christ become one as He's come down this last day. I wish you would make a note and read 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, where we take on, add on His virtues. But I can't do it this message. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine. Amen. May God bless you tonight. I'm closing this message. I hope it has helped someone. This is what the Lord put on my heart. It's yours now. Amen. I just tried to obey God to the best of my ability tonight. There might have been someone else could have done better, but God ain't looking for somebody to do better or do worse. He wants His own life to get out, His own Word to be spoken. So may God bless you for being so patient with me tonight. Listen to the Word. And let us just bow our heads, if you will, please, this time and just talk to the Lord a little bit here. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, for Your love, Your goodness, and Your mercy, Lord. Father, truly, truly, Lord, we felt Your Spirit in our midst tonight, Lord. God, we believe with all of our heart that Your will has been wrought, Lord. And Father, that you've been in our midst in a special way. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we've tried to sow this seed of the Word tonight. Father, You said in Bible days, when one went forth to sow the seed, the fowls of the air picked some of it up. Some of it fell on hard places and stony places. Some of it, the briars and the weeds choked out the Word that it didn't produce fruit, Lord. But Father, You said there was some fell on good ground and brought forth hundredfold, thirtyfold, and sixtyfold, Lord. Oh, Father, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Oh, God, our Savior, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that this Word that we've tried to preach tonight, Lord, and tried to labor before You, Lord, and bring this message, I pray, Lord, that this seed Word will fall into prepared hearts, Lord. As one in olden days said, break up the fallow ground of your heart. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, You're the only one. I pray You rebuke the fowls of the air, Lord, that would come and devour this seed Word up and make it be unprofitable, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let us all grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Father, I'm praying with all of my heart and all sincerity, Lord, that You'll help me, help the congregation, help everyone that will hear this message any way, any time, Lord. Oh, God, we pray that You'll help them to see this is the truth. This is the Word of God that the Lord has spoken. Oh, God, and we must obey what the Lord has said. Father, now help us all as we go our separate ways tonight. Father, you just be with us. And Father, we'll be careful to praise You for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. We're living in a late hour. Praise God. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Would you like for us to lay hands on you, brother? Amen. All right. Just come on forward, if you would, please. And let's remember Brother Edward here and his family. We know God's able. He's abundantly able. Amen. All right. Then Jesus is the one that said, cast all your cares, your burdens, yes, upon Him, and He'll bear them. He cares for you. How many believe that? Amen. I wonder if we could sing that little chorus before we pray for this gentleman here. He cares for you. Amen. How many believe He does? Praise God. And
I believe the man has a need here, and I believe that God's able to meet the need. All right, let's just give it all to the Lord. Amen. All right. Brother, we're going to believe God, and we're going to believe the condition will change after this prayer, because prayer changes things when it's prayed in faith. I wonder if we could sing the little chorus, "He cares for you." He cares for you. He cares for you.